I want to get right into the Word of God in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to talk about conflict over authority. I believe if there's anything that's certain in our society today, it's conflict over authority. Who's in charge? And so, want to look at the scriptures today. God's Word addresses that. An office manager was complaining in their staff meetings that he wasn't getting any respect. The next day, he attached a small sign to his office door that said, "I'm the boss." Later that day, he returned from lunch to find that somebody had taken note over his sign. It read, "Your wife called. She wants her sign back." Conflict over authority. Maybe that'll work. Amen. So I know there's a great conflict today over the authority of God and His Word in society today. I'll get a little more serious here if I can. But in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 10, pardon me, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh," that means according to the sinful nature, "we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Thank you, Father God, for your word today. I pray your blessings upon the ministry of the word of God. Lord, talk to our hearts as only you can. You know what people have been through throughout the week. I don't, but you know the hearts and you know everything, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would quicken your word to our hearts today, that you'd talk to us, Lord. That we'd leave this place proclaiming Jesus is Lord, our minds fully upon you, Lord. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Conflict over authority. First, there is a conflict between good and evil. Takes no great revelation to see that. And Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, nor the way we don't war during warfare in the natural sense. But in the spiritual sense, we're involved in a spiritual war, whether we realize it or not. But we belong to God. We do not war according to the... Everybody has battles and trials they go through. And one person told me one time, says, "Choose your battles." Well, I choose not to have any, but sometimes you do. It's part of life. But there's a conflict between good and evil that is quite obvious in society today. A conflict over authority. Evil is everywhere. The devaluing of human life is here, and the further a person or a country gets away from God, the less value there is put on human life. And the society is going mad over Roe versus Wade being overturned. I'm shouting glory myself. Man, praise the Lord. And it's a step the right direction. We put value upon human life. But where this gospel isn't preached, little value is upon human life. Look at the Islamic countries. They'll kill you for nearly anything. They'll kill you for being a Christian or a Jew first, and then if you don't agree with their false doctrine. And we've had many testimonies come out of there, people being saved and born again in Islamic countries. That's a wonderful miracle of God. Thank God for it. Missionaries that we've sent, we received reports back from them, were people that grew up, you know, and would pay with their lives if they converted to Christianity, but are converting anyway. That's a work of God. I thank God for that. God's able to do the impossible. And so evil is everywhere in our society, but it says that the Word of God is mighty to pull down strongholds. And you say there's many strongholds in the world today. I'm told, sadly, that most people are involved in some kind of internet porn. That's a stronghold, and it's meant to be broken. Because people can get it on their internet, on their cell phones, wherever. And if you're looking for it, you'll find it. But you see, rebellion against authority is a problem. It's always been one. Because you see, the grip of sin is very strong. It doesn't want to let go. But I want to tell you something. There's something greater than sin and its stronghold. And God can release and break strongholds in your life. It may not be pornography. It may be something else. It may be rebellion. It may be a grudge you've held against somebody for 15 years, even though it didn't amount to a hill of beans, but yet you held it there. But God can break that. And the grip of sin is so strong, so powerful, you can't break it yourself. You've got to have God's help. And He wants you to be free. And Jesus said, or the words that God says, whom the Son, Christ, has made free is free indeed. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. The truth is we need God's help. Because there's a constant conflict there between good and evil. You say, well, when will it all be over? It'll all be over one day. Amen. And there will be no more tempter, and no more devil, and no more sin, and no evil work in this world one day. But that's not today, but one day it will be. And so, there's some strongholds in our lives, but you see, there's always been the challenge between good and evil. And it's, of course, had to do with Lucifer's fall in the Old Testament. Amen. He fell before the Old Testament, but it's written there. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17. It gives Lucifer's fall here. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? This was Satan's fall from heaven. He once was a good angel, but he's not good anymore. He never can be or will be good. Verse 13. You have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Lucifer says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Again, another I will. He says, I will set on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. The next I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Another I will be like the most high. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. I want to tell you something. There is nothing good about the devil or his work ever. He has nothing good planned for you. He hates you. Amen. Did you come to church today and realize that somebody hates you? The devil hates you. But God loves you. That's the opposite. I'm glad that He does. Amen. And so He challenges the authority of God. You know, and when Satan challenges authority of God, we ask the question, how did that work out? He's no longer in heaven. He got too big, pardon me the English term here, he got too big for the seat of his britches, and God kicked him out of heaven. He's no longer there. He's not a good angel of God anymore. He's a lost, and there is no plan of redemption for angelic beings as there is for humans. And so there's not even the slightest chance the devil will repent and be turned into a good angel again. He's lost. He's a bad angel forever. Okay. Did Lucifer really think he could overthrow the Creator? But you see, this battle continues until the end. And the end of this conflict between good and evil will come to an end. Man. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, said, and I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. That would be against Jesus who was sitting on the horse. And the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with the brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay? So we know that in the end, the devil and the false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist, will all be consigned eternally to the lake of fire. Man, I know people here, they would like to have lakeside property. But you don't want to have that kind of lakeside property. Lake of fire is somewhere you don't want to go. You don't want to be there because there will be nothing good there. Okay? And so the battle against good and evil, the conflict continues on and will until the end of time. You say, well, I'll be glad one of these days I don't have to wrestle with anything anymore. It'll come. If you're born again, you'll be in heaven when it happens. It doesn't mean that we have to look with dread and fear on what's going to happen or what might happen to us. God does not want you to live that way. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God called you to trust in Him, walk with Him, and there's nothing too big or too great or more powerful than the God that we serve. Whatever you come against is not too big for the Christ that lives in you. Praise the Lord. So authority is rebelled against today in home and school and public. In law enforcement, to defund the police movement, that's strictly against the will of God, if you can read it in Romans 13. And this day, if people will stand up and say, I have rights. Yeah, maybe you do. We have the right to live in obedience to God. That's what we have the right to do, Christians. We have the right to yield to His word. We have the right to depend upon Him for grace and strength for times to come. And we have the right to believe that His grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Let me tell you something. When you're weak, He's strong. You say, well, I'm not weak. Yeah, everybody's weak in some area. We need Christ. And the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so we take God, we depend on God for grace and strength to carry on. And so we have the right to live in obedience to God. We have the right to His word. We have the right to worship Him this morning. We have the right to submit to His authority and His lordship. The Bible tells us, James 4 and 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He didn't say just resist him a little bit or just push him aside and say, get out of here for right now. He says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And you'll have to resist enemy and evil many times in your life. But I want to tell you, God is on your side. You can make it. Praise the Lord. Well, we have rights. We think you hear that often in our country. We have fundamental rights, yes. Laws that protect fundamental rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Freedom of speech, freedom to worship God. Those are being attacked in our society today. Freedom of speech and freedom to worship God. But I want to tell you something. It's not too big for the God that we serve. I'm told in places where people are severely persecuted for the faith, like in North Korea, one of the worst. Heard a believer was able to text and get somewhere. They can't let them have any outside communication if they can help it. But sometimes things get through, thanks to God. But this particular believer thought it would just be wonderful just to have a whole minute just to sit down and think of nothing but God. A whole minute, 60 seconds. Because it doesn't have freedom to do anything else except to do forced labor from a godless government. But God is able to reach people where they are and to give them hope where there is no hope. My friend, we are a people looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we have hope today. Praise the Lord. We need to pray for those that don't have much. God has put the responsibility on you and I to pray for the persecuted church. Not to say they got that way because their own fault. No, it wasn't their own fault. Man, there is a work of evil out there to destroy the work of darkness. But I want to tell you, God is greater. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. So there is a spiritual conflict between good and evil. This is a pull to force us into allowing things that are against nature to have rule in our lives. And I'm sure every pulpit has said this. Well, not every pulpit, but it should be in every pulpit. Today it is a pull for us to consider gay marriage, gender change, transgender, bisexual, and say, oh, it was just, you're just normal. You were born that way. Wrong. By the word of God, you weren't born that way. This is a war. This is a work of the enemy that is so against God and against nature itself that we don't even think it's possible. And 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it would never have been mentioned as an acceptable way of life. And I'm not talking about just the gay lifestyle. I'm talking about every sin. But this is rebellion against God's authority, against His creation. And so God will not put up with it. He'll judge it. Yes, He will. Amen. If you don't think God will judge the gay movement, let me ask you a question. Why don't you look at God's urban renewal plan for Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, fire and brimstone from heaven to where today there's not even a trace of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's believed to be somewhere under the Dead Sea. So God has a way of making things right and destroying sin. That doesn't mean that God hates people that are gay. Jesus died for them just like He died for me and you. It doesn't mean that God hates the drunkard or the person that's unreasonable to be around. Jesus died for them, and Jesus wants to save them, and God has saved and rescued people out of every lifestyle, sinful lifestyle there is, and He loves and wants to redeem. It doesn't mean that we love their sin, we hate their sin, and God hates their sin, but God loves their soul, and we must love their soul. Glory to God. Let's move on here. This conflict over authority cannot be won in human strength. Your walk with God requires God to help you. Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not earthly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I had a man tell me one time years ago, he said, we just need to clean house in Washington. And he said, I got my AR-15 ready. I don't think God meant that. The weapons of our warfare, okay, not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen. But it takes God's power to overcome. The spiritual war is to destroy your soul, the souls of your family, and other God-ordained unions. The enemy of your soul wants to destroy, and he's worked very hard in our country here to destroy the family unit. To destroy the authority of the father in the home, to destroy the authority in school, to destroy... When I was in school, they'd spank you for nearly nothing. Nay, they'd be doing jail times if they spanked you today. I had a teacher, I know you want to tell me, when to tell you a story. But I had a school teacher that I sat next to a guy in class, and the school teacher couldn't hear anything, hardly. And the guy that sat with me, he called that school teacher out loud where we could hear it, but the teacher couldn't hear it. He called him every name in the book, name that I wouldn't... I'll just tell you, he called him every name. I won't tell you what he called him. But he sat next to me, and I guess one day the teacher thought I said it. And I marched up the front, and he gave me two licks with a board in front of the whole class. I didn't say anything against him. But I guarantee you, I wanted to take that board and work the guy over that sat next to me. But there's a conflict over authority, not just there. That's just an example. But spiritual war is to destroy your soul, the souls of your family, and the souls of every God-ordained union, especially marriage. And so God created marriage to be marriage to one woman to one man, not two women to each other. Not two men to each other. Does it take any common sense to see that? No, God gave us common sense. It's our responsibility to use it. Man. And so, what kind of value do you have in your relationship with Christ? Have you made Him the authority over your life, or have you remained an authority? Because you see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to be an authority over your life. And on the other hand, the devil wants to be an authority over your life. He wants to promote everything that's evil and sinful and wrong. God wants to promote everything that's good and righteous and true and holy and pure and that's good for you. Amen. And so the real enemy is the devil. It's not people. It's not the one you want to blame. It's not society. It's not your IRS agent. But it's the devil and demonic powers that operate in our world. And there's only one devil, but there are many demonic spirits under his control. One third of the angels rebelled with Lucifer against God. And you've heard that, but I can only find that in one place in Scripture where that's clearly spelled out. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And another sign in the heaven, behold, the great fiery dragon, the devil, having seven heads and 10 horns, those stand for governments, 7 diadems on his head, and his tail drew through a third of the stars of heaven. He's not talking about the kind that twinkle at night. He's talking about angelic spirits. The stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. Okay? And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And in some commentators, there's a little difference here. She bore a male child. We take that to be Christ, who is caught up to the throne of God, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand, back to the right hand of the Father. And some take that to mean the 144,000 who were resurrected and sent to heaven later on. You can argue with that over theology if you want to, but I do know that Jesus came and died for our sins, and I know that he was raised from the dead. We know that after his work upon earth was finished and completed, he ascended to the right hand of the Father and stands and says, and is there by the right hand of the Father as the great mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, fulfill the priesthood. And so there's all kinds of evil out there. We know that. And the work of the enemy is to destroy all work of redemption, all the restoration of man's relationship with God, to destroy hope, peace of mind, and confidence in God. And things of this world cause us to not have the peace of mind that we want many times. But you see, God is in authority. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the darkness of this age, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies." And he says, take the whole armor of God that you may stand against the schemings of the enemy. Okay? And so there are supernatural beings out there. And I don't get me wrong. I'm not the kind of preacher that tries to figure out what demons behind every bush here and there, you know, and all that. There's people like that. Amen. I heard one lady's wanted the demon cast out of her yard because she had grass burrs in her yard. She didn't need deliverance. She just needed to get a hoe and hoe them up, you know. But yet, there are demonic spirits out there, and there is a work of evil, and there is a work of darkness, and an organized work of darkness by Satan. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him, Christ, all things were created that are heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." So we know there's thrones, principalities, and powers. It's not that God created evil principalities and powers, but the devil and his angels have an organized way to promote their evil agenda in the world today. That's obvious. But let me give you good news. We can be confident in God. We can be confident that he's not ever going to change, that he doesn't need to improve, that he doesn't need to be swayed with society and how it changes all the time. But God is the same, and he didn't have to change because he's always right. And you can be confident of your salvation, God's work in you, because it says in Ephesians or Philippians 1:6, being confident, certainly assured of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. That promise is for people who are in pursuit of God, living for God, not in pursuit of evil, but they're living for God. They're giving their lives over to Jesus. We can be confident that God didn't start something He's not going to finish. God didn't say, I saved you just so you could have peace for a little while. God didn't say, I have saved you just so you could be my child for a while. But He says, I have an eternal plan for you. We can be confident that what God has started in us, He's going to see it to completion. To the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's not my word. That's not the word of some great philosopher. That's the word of God. That's what He said about you. We can believe what He said. Praise the Lord. And also, we would like to leave this one out, but we can't. There's a war against your mind and your thought life. Oh my. In our text here of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is a hard one here. Bringing into every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You have to have God to do that. Because people think many things. How many thoughts go through your mind every day? I don't know, you probably can't count them. You probably don't try to. You probably gave up at 1,000. Man. But there is a war against your thought life because the enemy wants to just infiltrate the way you think and the way you concentrate and meditate on what you meditate and think of the most and try to make you push you in the sinful direction where you have nothing else to think about except something sinful. All cults and false religions work to control the mind, to have the authority over the mind. Cult leaders somehow get their followers to believe that they are God and that everything they say is correct. But they're not God and they're not correct. Only God is fully trustworthy and correct. And His word is trustworthy. Praise the Lord. So what we fill our minds with is a challenge. And all means of communication are used, some for good and some for evil. And there's all kinds of communication out there. There's a television, there's the internet, there's a radio, there's MP3. I don't know. There's a bunch of things that I don't know about. Anyway, I didn't explore them all. But the means of communication can be there, and there's always, the enemy always works on communication. He wants to get into everything, and so we know that there's evil everywhere. Then we cannot control what other people do, but we can control things we hear outside the home. We can't control everything we hear outside the home, but we can control what goes on in the house. We can choose personally many things. We can choose what to watch, what to listen to. And so God gives us that power to choose. Man. And so we want to choose what's good and what's upright and what will benefit us spiritually, not things that will tear us down spiritually. And so we want to fill our minds with the things of God. So how do we overcome? And how do we put the right one in charge, God in charge? How do we win this conflict between good and evil? You know, I've been reading in the Old Testament. I read both, Old and New. And it's over and over again, God emphasized a morning sacrifice. In the Old Testament, lamb was offered every morning as sacrifice for sin. And every evening a sacrifice was offered. You know, if we could just pray, I'm not saying you have to bombard heaven for 3 hours. But if you could spend 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, just nothing but concentrated on God and His Word and praying and talking to God, my friend, you'll be an overcomer. You'll overcome the evil. Because morning and evening, you're putting God in charge and saying, God, I want You to be in charge of my life. I want You to have authority in my life. I want you to rule my thought life. I want you to rule my behavior. I want you to rule what I listen to and what I watch and what I teach and where I put myself. I want you to rule me when I have to go into all the world and hear all kinds of trash, but Lord, I know you're there to help me, and he will help you. You say, well, you've never lived in the carnal world that I live. Oh, yes, I have. I've worked secular jobs, and most of you can identify with this. If you do factory work, construction work, or oil field work, you're going to hear everything that can be heard when it's evil. Amen. You're going to learn new words. Most of them aren't good. And so I remember my oldest son, came home from school one day, and he says, he called a word, and he said, what's that, Mama? And she said, well, it sounds pretty evil. Why don't you just not say that word? So people, and it wasn't a cuss word, but it was just not a good analogy of any kind. So we do live in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. And so we have to guard our minds and fill our minds with things that are going to help us spiritually. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, this covers it all, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's how you overcome. That's how you let good rule your life instead of evil. Amen. We just concentrate on those that are just and lovely and true and pure and of good report, and we meditate, concentrate upon these things. And you know, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And so we want to meditate on the things that are true and pure and holy. Amen. Even though we live in a world, you're going to hear all kinds of things out there, but God will give you the grace and strength to stand and to walk and live for God. By the way, the place where you're at in your work, God has placed you there so you can be a testimony and a witness to them. He's not telling you to quit your job and start to and depend on the government for help. He's telling you to continue on to work, but God will give you the grace and the strength to help. And his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Praise the Lord. Amen. So conflict over authority. There's much there. Amen. But God has all authority. Jesus said, Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means everything. You will face everything you will go through. The Jesus you serve, he's got authority over it. We need to serve him, live for him, and walk with him. Amen.